Garoppolo got a straight drop, going to twist out to his left, come back middle, avoiding everybody. Now Quiddy Pay is going to sack him on the last play of the game, and the 49ers will lose. And DeForest Buckner, by the way, got that sack as well. It was Defoe. He's hopping all around the field wildly, celebrating his return to Santa Clara and Levi's. That is DeForest Buckner. What the symbolism dripping on that last play of the game, along with the raindrops. So Garoppolo sacked on the last play of the game. The 49ers lose by a score of 30-18.
Oh, man. I don't think any of us anticipated flipping on the mics and talking about a 30-18 49er loss to the Colts, but that's the dealio, man. We got to talk about it with Tim Ryan. We love talking to Tim on Mondays. It's always good to talk ball and life and on the UMA guest line.
Oh, man.
Good morning, Timmy.
Hey, Tim.
How are you, brother?
That was a tough one.
Yeah, top of the morning to you, fellas. Yeah, feeling a little down, man. I did not expect that. I mean, you knew it was going to be a dogfight, but the way the offense started was gangbusters, obviously, the way they were running the ball, blocking for Elijah. Defensively, getting a takeaway on the first play of the game, it all set up. But then it started to feel like Seattle towards that second quarter in terms of, you know, not being able to really capitalize off that stuff. So feeling a little down today, but you know what I do when I'm down. I get up early and I go for a donut.
Okay. Yeah. Now you're talking.
Sounds my language. Good to me. Why don't you swing by, drop off a couple?
Well, what kind are we talking about, too? What are we talking about? Like chocolate?
Will make you feel better.
Yes, what do we need? A bear claw, April fritter? What does T-Rock like to have?
Well, if it's early in the morning like it is today, it's a glaze because they're still hot.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Nice call.
Melt in your mouth.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Melt in your mouth.
Very much.
Otherwise, I may just bust out with a maple twist if I'm feeling a little frisky.
Bro, okay. Now, I mean.
Yeah, I think last night was like a maple twist kind of loss. You know what I mean? Like, I was.
It was. You might as well drown your sorrows with a maple twist.
Like the extra long one, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just hang out.
Oh, man. Oh. Yeah, the king-sized maple twist. That look, it was. You know, defensively, it was feast or famine, and they are so capable of being really good, even with, you know, the loss of Verrett early in the year in week one and the challenges they've had inside and keeping the defensive tackle play at a high level and keeping guys healthy. There's still a lot of opportunities out there for them, and it's been some self-destruction. I mean, you can go back all the way to the Green Bay game with 37 seconds left, and it's a busted coverage, and you know, the rest is history. And I think if you watch that one last night or listen to it and listen to us, tough game on the corners, obviously, with some of the, you know, catastrophic backbreaking DPI penalties. I thought it was a bad one on K'Wan Williams early in the game. There was, to me, I not a lot of material effect on that one. I thought that was a bad call that they certainly were able to capitalize off of. But the other ones was bad technique. It was panic technique. The one on Tart, obviously, and I hope he's okay. I think that maybe when he hurt his knee, didn't seem like it was great eyes by the corners in terms of, you know, some of the run defense stuff. I think if you go back and look at all three of those touchdowns, guys out on the islands, their eyes were somewhere other than they were supposed to be in terms of the, you know, the zone read touchdown by Wentz. There was nobody out on the corner. The tight end touchdown, the first one from Mo Alley Cox, where they had a probably would think just were supposed to switch the coverage on that out there with Norman and Tart, and the receiver went in, the tight end went out, and it looked to me like, and I don't know, because I don't know how what the calls are, but, I mean, fundamental football, and Josh Norman was running to the box to tackle Jonathan Taylor, so that was a bust in terms of having bad eyes. And then you'd probably say the same thing on the zone cutback that Jonathan Taylor punched in. So it was a challenge. The penalties were obviously a major issue once again. And then when you have opportunities, and we've said this for four games in a row, to make plays, you just got to go make them. And, you know, Dee Ford had the missed sack after a great rush. E-Man drops a couple of interceptions, which would have been, I think, momentum changers for sure. Norman had a chance, had his hand on the ball early after, I think, that drive led to a touchdown drive. I think that was the first Cox touchdown. So there were opportunities. The fact is they're just not playing good enough at the big moments to go win it and not cleaning up those mistakes.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Yeah, all well said and described by Tim Ryan here on the UMA Guest Line every Monday. Nobody saw this one coming, I don't think. 49ers getting sort of clocked at home here. Haven't won in a month, haven't won at home in almost a year. If we go back,
you're 1-10, and now part of that you got to throw out the window because home games were in Arizona a few times at the end of last year.
Right, right.
But at Levi's,
says 1-10, 1-10.
Which
and
I don't
last 11 no, called home game.
I don't even know. Can we go back to some of the DPIs and take us through, like, you know, if you're like 49ers and if you can you go with NFL athletes, can you go all the way back to just the fundamentals in practice of like, hey, man, this is why we want you guys to play these plays differently than how you've been playing? I mean, I don't know if it's like if that's what you do in high school or if that's what you do in college. In the NFL, how much can you stress fundamentals in weeks, you know, seven?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I saw Bill Parcells as a GM of the Miami Dolphins coaching Joey Porter in about Porter's 14th year after he left Pittsburgh on how to spill the power play step by step by step on the field. So I don't think he ever quit coaching fundamentals and keeping it simple. The fact of the matter is these guys aren't on autopilot and they're not robots. And, you know, when the ball's in the air, there's some guys that you know, or don't panic. And then there's some guys that they lose their technique because they're so concerned about getting beat and not giving up a big play. And you know, I think some of it starts with not being in the right place in terms of coverage. I'm not sure exactly, you know, why Tart wasn't on a deep half. I don't know if Emmanuel Mosley was supposed to sink more on that big one to Pittman. But he didn't need to panic there. I get it, the guys, but you still got to try to track the football and know where it is. But just to run at the guy and have that contact, that to me was, that's a challenge. Emmanuel Mosley didn't need to DPI the guy in the end zone. He's in perfect position. He's hipped up to him. Turn and find the ball. I think a lot of it starts with not tracking the ball soon enough or not tracking it at all. And if your head's not turned, you're getting a call if there's any contact. It's just the way these guys call it. And Eman's got this, I don't know if it's a bad habit or what's good, but he's got this little hug technique where he wraps his arms around guys, not thinking that that's going to be, you know, material contact and restricting them from going and getting the football. And even if you're looking, if you've got both arms wrapped around the guy, they're even if you're not holding them, you got your arms wrapped around them, they're going to call that. Didn't need to have that one.
No.
You know, so it's technique, but I think it's the heat of the moment more than anything. And that's what they've got to play there. You know, great players, good players in this league, it's called winning football. They go make those plays. And Eman's made a lot of plays, no question. But you gotta be more consistent, obviously, when those go balls are coming your way in the end zone.
So, Tim, I think another question a lot of 49er fans are asking today, and maybe you can help answer this question. I'm totally baffled by this, but the question is, how and why do the 49ers look so good and so sharp on their opening drive? And they just methodically march right down the field, nice mixture of run and pass. Mitchell, right. Mitchell was starting to feel it. He was galloping a little bit. Jimmy was having some nice success there with the misdirection and the bootleg. And then suddenly the offense looks nothing like that until three plays in the fourth quarter when you got a whiff of it again. But my question is, where is that? Why can't that be sustained? And why does it look so dramatically different from the opening series to the second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth offensive series?
That's a great question. You know, I think a lot of it is the script early, and they know exactly what they're going to do. And if they get the looks that they scripted for, they're able to block it up. And it was clinic blocking on that first drive. And clinic
outstanding.
In terms of the running from Elijah behind those guys. And, man, has he is he quick, explosive, and really is a knack for making people miss in the open field, which is awesome, and can certainly build on that thing going forward. I think the third down thing is a major challenge.
Yeah.
And they converted one third down out of 11. And this offense is about, you know, setting you up for the next play and the next play and the next play. And it's hard. You can't go out and run outside zone every single series for two plays and then run the keeper on third down. It's just not that easy. You gotta set them up for those plays. So that's the staple of the offense. That works, obviously, but that doesn't work every single down out there. So I think part of it is I get the feeling, and I don't know in terms of, you know, Jimmy's health and the calf and his mobility, and he's not a big, you know, extension quarterback and making you pay with the, you know, with the scramble drill and the extension plays and all that. But it seems like third down plays.
Yeah.
If they don't win on the grease board in terms of the coaches winning and there's a guy wide open on an over route across the middle, or it's the quarterback's got to be able to cover some of those mistakes up and some of those challenges. And Jimmy took this team to the Super Bowl, and we know what his win-loss record is. Defense had a big part in that. The running game had a huge part in that. But I know that you watch every Sunday, and the teams that are really playing well, the quarterbacks cover up injuries. I mean, Green Bay is loaded with injuries. They still winning games. They've won six in a row because of the quarterback, and he's a great quarterback. Tom Brady, same thing, great quarterback. And not all quarterbacks are going to be great every Sunday.
Right.
But they throw guys open in this league. They throw to covered receivers that make plays.
Yeah.
And I just don't see a lot of that in the offense right now. I don't see a big threat outside the numbers in terms of the passing game. Not a lot of opportunities in terms of attempts. And you heard Kyle say it last night. I mean, they loaded the holy hell out of the box, which most teams are going to do. Why wouldn't they? They know the 49ers want to run it. They want to run it 30 times. They want to pound it, and then they want to get the play-action game going over the middle. That's what the 49ers have been really good at, and that's what they do, and that's how they've won games. When you do that, you got isolation coverage one-on-one on the outside. I don't see a lot of formations where they're really challenging and or routes or plays where they're really challenging numbers to the sideline. I see it in practice, but we don't see a lot of those go-ball opportunities and even attempts, and I get it. If you don't think it's a great play, and you know you don't feel great about being able to run by somebody, they had Isaiah Rodgers out on the corner a lot in 11 personnel. They needed to attack him outside the numbers yesterday, but for one reason or another, they didn't really challenge those corners too much. And I think in this league, they're calling DPIs. It happens to the 49ers, it seems like. They're calling DPIs all the time. Mm-hmm. They're throwing, you know, one-on-one balls. And it wasn't just yesterday. You look around the league, and these guys are just throwing it up to covered receivers, hoping they'll go make a play or get a DPI. And a lot of times they're able to be successful. The 49ers don't seem to challenge that area of the field quite a bit. And that allows everybody to play heavy on the inside and try to poach some of those over-the-middle throws and have the extra defender in there for the run game.
Yeah, good analysis. I mean, great breakdown right there with Tim Ryan. We're doing it every Monday. Nobody happy after last night's 30-18 loss to the Colts. Fourth loss in a row. Niners fall to 2-4. They're off to Chicago on Sunday, which leads us to how much do you think Kyle takes a look at the quarter at QB1? You know, you just said it. Jimmy's not getting it done, not taking those shots, not throwing guys open, not doing what good quarterbacks do in the league. How hard should Kyle look at making the transition to Trey Lance?
Yeah, I think that depends on, A, the health of Trey and really how that knee is. And he didn't put on a helmet all week at practice last week. And then, obviously, they had the week off before that with the bye week. So he'll look at it. He'll look at the tape. I haven't watched the tape yet, so I don't know if guys were running open or if, you know, I didn't see a lot of open guys in turn. But again, you got to throw guys open in this league. Not, it's pro football. A half a yard's open. You got to put it on the right spot with ball location.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, that defense the way they get after it, and if Trent Williams isn't playing again with that ankle injury, and there's certainly been some challenges on the interior in terms of the protection, if Trey is if the knee's healthy, I think he'll look at the tape and he'll decide who's going to give him the best chance to win. But I think he'll look long and hard at it, because mathematically this team's not done. I mean, right. They played six freaking games out of 17. They've still got 11 games left. But when you start looking at the NFC, when you start looking at a big picture, they're probably going to have to go 8-3 in the next 11 games.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take 10 games to get a wild card. Yeah. That's what I would think in a 17-game season.
Right.
So he'll think long and hard about, I'm sure, about getting Trey out there. You know, Trey is a Band-Aid for all of the issues and the challenges. The problem is it's going to take time to really modify, I think, modify the offense around him in terms of the receivers and how they're playing. This offense is so geared on precision, right? Precision routes, you know, post-snap reads, the coverage looks like this, they're going to run this, and it's going to be a 12-yard in cut or a 16-yard out, whatever. And when you got a quarterback, and especially in this game now today where there's just so much speed out there with the rushers, with everybody, is, you know, you got a quarterback that's going to get to the back step, and then if it's not there or there's some pressure, he's going to take off, and then you've got to take off hopefully as a thrower, not a runner, to extend the play, and then it's playground football. Then those routes all got to be broke off. You got to start scrambling around, and that's not something the 49ers have done a lot of, and this offense doesn't count on that. They count on the quarterback being on point, the receivers winning the route, and them winning schematically. So I think the league is pretty wide open when you look at these quarterbacks, and it's basketball on grass, man, and you got the point guard back there. And if there's any pressure, here comes the crossover, and he's going to get out there, and now it's about dishing it to the guy down on the block or the guy who wants to get open, who wants to cut across the lane. So, you know, some things are going to Trey can still run all the stuff in the offense, obviously, and the play action and the over routes and all the stuff over the middle of the field. But what I like about him is when it's not drawn up to win on the grease board and guys aren't, you know, I don't want to say tricking people, but beating them with routes and beating them with leverage and wide open. And then there's some pressure coming. He's a Band-Aid for all of that because his ability to effortlessly get away from people without panicking. When Jimmy gets away from people, I think Jimmy's getting away and he's trying to buy time, but he's trying to get away and not get tackled and sacked behind the line of scrimmage. When some of the that's just his style of play. He's a thrower. He's a in the pocket thrower. Get him out on the edge in the bootleg game and let him read it out and find the guy and hopefully deliver an accurate football. But a lot of these quarterbacks, man, it is a couple steps, a little pressure, feel it here, step up, step out, outside the pocket. Now you're on your feet, and you're a big Band-Aid for all those wounds that you may have endured with not getting open or an offensive lineman getting beat by a rusher.
Yeah, that's what he brings. And again, they moved heaven and earth to get him. You know, they made a big move. So obviously he's the future. The question is when. Some would say maybe this Sunday. But like you said, the knee will be a factor in that. If he didn't put a helmet on last week, that's a big deal too. So we'll follow that story all week. Hey, before let's go, Timmy, just I don't know how much you saw with your naked eye. I know you haven't seen the film, but did you see Brandon Ayuk getting open or have any half-yard separation? Because Jimmy just not looking at him.
No, he's not. I got to go back and watch the tape. I didn't see a lot of guys running free. But again, you don't have to run free to be open in pro football. Mm-hmm. I see it every Sunday. You guys see it every Sunday. The fans see it every Sunday. You throw a guy open. And that's just not happening enough in this offense. And you know, Ayuk is so damn talented, and that's obvious. They got to figure out how to get him going. He had his best week of practice last week. He's working his tail off, but it's not transitioning to game day. And when you think about that and think about some of the limitations in the passing game, and I think that's what it comes down to. Right now, the passing game is just not good enough.
No.
For one reason or another. You know, going into that game, Debo is having another, you know, another great game. He's having a tremendous, tremendous year, and he's the guy that Jimmy's going to try to go to in a pinch, just like that last, the first interception that Rhodes had. There's three guys over there. If Jimmy throws it a little more to the outside, I'm quite sure, not an interception, because Rhodes is not going to be able to get his hands on that football. But you think of the other group of guys in terms of the receivers, and I think Kendrick Bourne is highly missed in this offense. Unfortunately, they couldn't get him paid, as he's in New England, and he's doing a lot of good things because he's a trustworthy guy and could certainly get open because he's a good route runner in terms of how he kind of changed the speed on his routes and some of the things he did as he was getting to the top end of his route. Going into that game, every other receiver combined, not named Deebo Samuel, have 24 receptions in five games. Mm-hmm. That's every other guy combined.
Yeah.
So they have desperately got to find out who that complimentary receiver is. And it's easy to say that it's Ayuk. Draft selection, talent level, skill sets. But and I think everybody has a part to play in it, and it's not all Ayuk. It's not happening for him. That's got to change.
Yeah, man. And just while we have you, Timmy, the Trent Williams absence last night, how big a deal you thought, if you thought Jalen Moore was okay?
Yeah, well, it's you can hide those offensive tackles and they're in the game until they give up a sack. And he, Quiddy Pay got the party started on that sack fumble. That really wasn't on McGlinchey. Quiddy Pay is, the rookie out of Michigan, good first step, and was able to dip, rip, and run right around him, and that forced Jimmy to step up, and then Muhammad was able to come from behind him and knock him out. They had a play which ended up being a fairly significant penalty on the illegal receiver, or illegal lineman down the field on one of those throws, and that was a mistake. He must not have heard something, because it wasn't an RPO the way that I saw it, run-pass option. I'll have to go back and look at the tape and see how well he was moving guys. I thought McGlinchey played well last night. You know, they were running the ball and moving those guys out of there, and it was well done. So, but I don't care who you got at left tackle. If it's not Trent Williams, it's a drop-off in play because he's that damn good.
No Trent, no George, no Raheem. I mean, I don't know how many excuses you can make for the lack of injuries. They were missing T.Y. Hilton and a couple DBs, too.
Well, again, I'll say this. And it feels like, at least three of the last 4 years have been brutal, diabolical with the injuries. But you look around the league and everybody seems to get them. Everyone gets hurt in this league, it seems like, and are missing, game here, game there, three games, the short-term IR. And high-level quarterback play can cover that stuff up. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you got Kittle down, Mostert down, Mostert is missed. He'll be missed all year. They had plenty of juice in the run game last night.
Yeah, they really did. They did. Yeah, Mitchell looked good.
They had plenty of juice in the run game last night. And I think, if those backs stay healthy, and Elijah in particular, they'll have plenty of juice in the run game going forward.
I agree.
The bottom line is you got to win with the pass in this league. You look around, and it's week in and week out, and the way these guys are throwing the rock all over the place, it's ridiculous. The league has changed, and the quarterback position has changed in terms of that ability for these guys to move around and the things that they do. So you got to get more consistent and higher level of consistent play, because sometimes it's really good, but it's just too inconsistent at the most important position, and that's the guy delivering the mail.
Yep, well said, Timmy. All right, chamber we go for a week of analysis, and Kyle's got some decisions to make.
To Chicago. Got another one we got to take care of next week.
There's a rookie quarterback who's not having a brilliant season.
It's not all smooth sailing.
Three picks yesterday and a 38-3 loss. So, I mean, for all, I'm in favor.
It's hard, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's so hard. We're sitting here talking about it like, oh, yeah, come on. High level. We got to get better. It's the hardest job in professional sport,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I know.
Not only to do it, but you got 11 guys trying to rip your freaking ear hole out every play while you're doing it.
No kidding. Exactly. Yeah, well said,
that's
man.
Why Trey getting on his horse and running could be a good thing. So
put on the gas pedal, baby. Let's go.
Let's go.
All right, Tim, there you go, man.
Hey, man, that donut was good. If you need a second one, go back for two.
A little maple twist,
go back
man.
For two,
like right? a gentleman.
Donuts for everyone. Everybody listening, do yourself a favor. Stop and get a donut.
Yeah. That's it, man. That's why we're locked
Tonic,
in.
Timmy. Love it. Perfect. Be good. Have a great week, man.
All right, you guys too. Good talking to you.
See you, Tim.
He's the best.
Yeah.
Would you do you,
Maple Twist sounds awfully good right now with a nice hot coffee. I'm not going to lie.
Last night was a Maple Twist kind of loss.
Beignets down in New Orleans? A little powder sugar, maybe?
What are we doing?
Hey, we're going over for some beignets.
Why don't you watch me do this right now?
You got to get Cope
some
beignets.
I'm torn between wanting to give Pauly Mack the slideshow from New Orleans because I got pictures for days.
You're torn?
And then there you go. What do you want? What do you want this?
That's it. Murph is doing what Murph does best.
I got a close-up of me. I told Candace, I go, take a picture of me eating this beignet.
Yeah.
I need this preserved
in my phone.
Shot.
Yeah.
So that when Pauly asks, there it is. See the powdered sugar just tumbling over my fingers,
I wouldn't
Pauly?
Have it any other way. I want it all over my
By
shirt.
The way, I had a coffee sitting there, too.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Yeah. It looks damn good.
There's multiple.
Nice and warm, too.
There's multiples. Ooh. There's another one. There's another bite there. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
There's another angle here, Pauly.
Hell to the yeah. Hell to the yeah.
Multiple angles of attacking the beignet. Yeah. All right. There you go.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.